the Tom Likas Show.
Tom Likas, every man's dad. I love you, Tom.
Now, the host of the Internet's number one call-in show.
Fucking amazing.
Tom Likas.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. This is where you hear us live, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at tom.show. You can hear us on our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at tomeverywhere.com. That's tomeverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again. It's you. It's me. And every now and then, I just feel the urge to do this show. Because, especially as we enter a new year, which we did a few weeks back, whether we have a new election and people are affected one way or the other about it, whether we have a new school year, I mean, there's a bunch of things that happen that will change the way we see things, the way we look at things, the way we feel about ourselves. Now, I've talked many times about how we always think the other guy is happier than we are. It isn't very often we turn around and go, that guy, he's miserable, and I'm happy. Many times we look at other people and we go, God, I wish I had what they had. Wish I lived in their house. Wish I drove their car. Wish I married that guy's wife. We do that. We do that. Many times we look across the street and we look in that dimly lit window and we say, what's going on over there? What's happening? And we usually assume it's something good. Families getting together. Everyone gathering around the dinner table. Everybody happy to be together as a group. This is what we assume when we look in those windows. To this day, I can sit on top of a ridge on a 20-acre property in northern Santa Barbara County. I can look out and I see these windows lit up throughout the hills. And it can be very easy sometimes to look in those windows and say, now there's a happy family. But I'd be the first one to tell you, we don't always know what's going on behind closed doors. We don't always know if people are happy or unhappy. Most times we assume they are happy until we see the murder-suicide that's happened in their living room or their garage. And then we always say things like, they seem like such a quiet couple. They seem so happy. They had normal kids. I saw them at church. I saw them at the PTA meeting. And there's stuff going on behind closed doors. We don't know what it is. You know, you go to weddings all the time. Most people who listen, I think, do. I'm not a wedding guy. I'm not a funeral guy. Because I'm an atheist, and these ceremonies are often religious in nature, so I stay away. All right? But there are many times when somebody has some kind of tragedy befall them. You didn't know it was coming. He didn't look sick. She didn't look insane. He didn't look like a drunk or a drug addict. You just can't believe it when some people leave this earth. I am fascinated, maybe abnormally so, I'll be the first to admit it. When I see a house, I always think about what's behind those windows, what's behind those drapes, what is behind those closed doors. I know all too well from a life of seeing supposedly happy people ending up miserable. I know that the most quiet, serene places can harbor some really dark, dark situations. One thing I think about is when, and I see this a lot in the Hollywood Hills. You've probably seen my neighborhood on TV. There'd be a lot of mudslides, rock slides, closing of Laurel Canyon Boulevard, detours, etc. But I look around in the Hollywood Hills, and there are many people who buy a house, live there for 6 months or a year, and then they buy another house, and house number one remains on the market or it remains unoccupied for months, sometimes even years. I look at a house like that, and to me it's sad. I almost imagine that the house has these qualities that it needs to be occupied, that there need to be people living their lives inside, that houses have a soul, and they get kind of lonely if life isn't happening inside them. I look at houses like that, and I think about who used to live here. Who did all this work on this house, thinking they'd be sitting outside having parties or having a little brunch on Sunday, imagining they'd be sitting in these outdoor spaces that are never used. No one's ever home. Always wondering what's going on behind that front door. What happened in the past? Will anything ever happen in the future? My next door neighbor has owned his house for 12 years now and has never lived in it. His house has had squatters. His house has been robbed. His house has all kinds of dry brush. It looks like it could go up. You know, one misplaced cigarette butt, and it's going up. Going up in smoke. And that's what I look out my window at every day. This abandoned house, essentially. The guy won't sell it. He won't tear the ugly tinder-like structure down. He just leaves this ugly shell of a home standing there looking ugly and looking right in my kitchen window. Nothing will be done about it. I will be looking at it for the rest of my life. So yes, do I look at the front door? Do I look at the windows? Do I look if anyone's at whether anyone's parked in the driveway? I do. That's how my mind works. That's how I think. I always believe people put their best feet forward. But in reality, most people are not as happy as they say they are. And I am betting that includes many of the people listening right now. Just not as happy as you want the rest of the world to believe. You got married, thought it was the right thing to do. You had a kid. You thought it was the right thing to do. You thought you were in love. And with time, things have deteriorated. And ultimately, outside your house, the lawn looks mowed and looks like you drive a decent car. Everything looks like it's in order. But in reality, inside that house, there are two people at each other's throats. Or two people who silently simmer at each other. Or two people who have a kid, or two kids. I know more than one couple like this. They've got kids that they think are, you know, drug addicts or hardcore drunks. Or that they are involved in stuff that is a criminal by nature. I know many happy-looking households in giant $2, $3, $4 million houses. And inside those homes, there are young males between the ages of anywhere from 14 to 30 years old living in these homes causing trouble, causing misery. There are people who look like they're living this great lifestyle. In reality, they're having sex with other people. They're making escape plans. They're angry. They're sad. How would we ever know unless we asked? How would we ever know? That is why we do a feature called Reports from the Front. And this is where you call in from behind closed doors and you tell us what's going on in there. Now, you may be having the greatest life, the greatest time. Well, shit, if you're happy behind those closed doors, I'd love to know about it. And you can tell me at 901-3000-TOM. Maybe you are living in what looks like a perfect house or apartment, but you feel some way ripped off or sad. How many of you, think about this, how many of you go to a place like, I don't know, let me pick some of my favorites, Maui, Key West, Napa, and you're looking around and there's all these people, couples, and most of them are lying about being happy too, but they look happy to you. So there you are walking around Front Street in Lahaina, or there you are buzzing up Highway 29 in Napa, or maybe you are heading down Duval Street towards the ocean to watch sunset in Key West. Whatever you're doing, you look around and you see other people happier than you are. They're more couple-like. They're more physical. They're more, I don't know, for lack of a better term, romantic. I spent years like that going to supposedly romantic places and looked around and I saw people who were happier than I was. And so even though I had the great house, the great paycheck, the great everything, I was with someone who was cold as an ice cube. And so as you wander around these romantic locations like Maui or Napa, you say to yourself, why do these people get it right? Why do I get it wrong? That you? Maybe you were sold a bill of goods about how great having a kid would be. You know, now there you are with a couple of kids, all these obligations, all these to-do lists. Who's going to take the kids to soccer? Who's going to take the kids to a musical instrument practice? Who's going to take the kids, who's going to chaperone them? I mean, et cetera. That you? It ain't what it was cracked up to be. How many of you married the wrong person? Maybe there's no right person. That's how I see it. But whatever you did, you're married to somebody and you're saying, how did I get here? What did I do to deserve this? Why did I ever think that she was the woman of my dreams, my soulmate, the love of my life? And now here I am. I'm stuck. I've got two kids. I can't go anywhere. Is that you? It's reports from the front. And in order to do reports from the front and to have a great show, we need everybody's participation. And that includes you, including... if life behind that front door is fantastic and you want everyone to know about it. I'm not that cynical. I would love to hear that things are going well for you. Maybe you got a divorce and you got a perfect child custody or, you know, custody sharing arrangement or a perfect child support arrangement or whatever. You know, maybe you've been through a lot that was bad and now things are a lot better. Is that you? There is no way to know what is going on behind closed doors. No way. Unless you tell me. Unless you tell us. The good, the bad, and the ugly. I've been married to all three. So I would like you to call me and tell me, it's called Reports from the Front. What's going on behind your front door? I don't care if it's good or bad. I don't care what it is. I just want to know what it is. So you guys could start calling me right now at this number, 901-3000-TOM. Reports from the front. Behind your front door, is there happiness, sadness, anger, fear of losing your job, fear of losing your house? What's going on back there? 901-3000-TOM, that is our telephone number. This is how we learn what the other guy is thinking. This is how I look out my window, see those lights in the distance up in the hills. and find out what kind of life is going on behind each one of those lights. Call me now, 901-3000-866.
Serving the universe from an old laundromat in Burbank. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. The 901-3000-TOM. That's our number, 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-866. As of this morning, we already had 8 reservations for our dinner in Los Angeles. That took no time at all. We have a dinner coming up in Los Angeles. It's a P1 private dinner where you can join us, and we are hoping you will. But I must tell you that we are super excited about our big event coming up, and we've got a bunch of them, and we would love you to join us for dinner. We're doing it in 3 cities. We're doing it in New York City. We are doing it in the San Diego area, and we are doing it in the Los Angeles area with more coming. But it's time for you to make your reservation. Claim your places at the tables. On Saturday night, March 4th, Gary Zabransky and I are going to be at a top-of-the-line dinner somewhere in the San Diego area. That is Saturday night, March 4th at 7 p.m. On Saturday night, June 3rd, I am going to be joining a bunch of P1 listeners at a top-of-the-line restaurant in Manhattan, New York City. That is Saturday, June 3rd at 8:30 p.m. And finally, on Saturday, June 17th, Gary and I are going to be having dinner in the Los Angeles area, and tickets have been flying out the door. We don't have to beg you. We are thrilled that you guys are interested, and these are not unlimited guest lists. At some point, we will we'll cut them off, so we want you to get involved. If you're going to be joining us for dinner, and I'm talking about a great dinner, not a good dinner, not an average dinner. This is great restaurants, great meals, great company. Go to Dinner with Tom right now. Dinnerwithtom.com is the website. Dinnerwithtom.com, and you can claim your place at the table. So many of you already have, and we'd like you to do that while you're thinking about it. That's dinnerwithtom.com. It's reports from the front. 901-3000-TOM, that's our number. 901-3000-866. Here's John in Silverthorne, Colorado. John, you're on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Hello, Tom.
Hello, John.
Hey, I just want to say I've only started listening to you about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I can't get enough. Everything you've been saying has just hit so right at home with me. It's amazing.
Wow. I'm glad we're here for you. Tell me about your story.
Well, I joined the Marine Corps almost right out of high school, and I ended up knocking a girl up right before I left, and I'm not necessarily proud to say, but I paid for an abortion, and she told me she would get it, and sent her the money, and didn't get it, and so she's been strung out on everything, and I've pretty much had to step up completely. So her mother's completely out of the picture at this point, and I've been raising a 6-year-old girl by myself.
Did you know you were knocking up a drug addict at the time?
Not really. No, when I met her, she had her shit together. It seemed like she kind of did. I mean, there were definite red flags. And had I been listening to your show at that time, I think I might have been saved from this entire situation. But I really didn't have a whole lot of guidance in that area of life. And so, it's been quite the journey. I've been raising my daughter for the last over a year now by myself, not a single penny in child support. And frankly, I don't want anything from her. But it's been quite the struggle.
Now, you know, you're going to hear from her at some point and she's going to want money.
She has actually. When I got back from my deployment, I actually gave her a van in lieu of child support, and I had her sign a contract saying that she would take that for child support for 3 years. And she actually came after me anyway for more money. And lucky for me, the judge actually honored the contract and said, well, hey, you know, we're going to throw this out. So, I kind of got lucky there.
Right. And she'll do it again, too. You know that, right?
I've been told plenty of times. I need to file with the government. I typically hate going through the government, despite being a Marine. I've seen plenty of, just inconsistencies with government in general. And so, there's been just this part of me that, you know, for some reason doesn't really want to go through the government, and I would just prefer to just keep it out of the courts if I can. And just...
Yeah, but you understand, if you do that, she can come back at you and say you never paid her any child support, and there are judges out there who will agree and then make you pay going all the way back to the beginning.
Well, she doesn't live in the state of Colorado, so, I mean, I have a hard time believing that the judges would believe that, especially considering that she's, you know, registered in school out here and everything. So,
how do you not have an attorney doing this stuff for you?
Tom, I don't know. I think part of it's the fact that I just feel like I don't need it because it's she's
well,
just
you don't
so...
need it so far. But what if one of these things happens to you in the future? What will you do?
I don't know. I'd probably be shit out of luck.
Why not protect yourself from becoming shit out of luck by hiring an attorney?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Am I really in a situation to just be able to say, well, she's been here for a year or more, over a year. I mean, obviously with the school records, I have a hard time believing that she can just come out of nowhere and
but
just...
You know what? I have a hard time believing a lot of things. But the fact is that attorneys know more than I know. And they know more than you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You understand that? I mean,
yes, sir.
Why do you think there are so many attorneys and it's such a lucrative business? Why do you think that might be?
Yeah, because they've gone to school and they know their shit.
But the point is, do you think those of us who hire attorneys were a bunch of idiots?
I don't. I mean, I just think that a lot of times women are fighting much harder than what her mom's going to be able to fight ever. I mean, she's not in a situation to fight. In fact, part of the reason that even drew me to your show in the first place was I tried to save her in a sense. I tried to... she had already been in a lot of trouble, and things, and instead of avoiding jail time, she decided to do a 6-month rehab, program. And when she got out of that, I tried to, Captain Save-A-Ho sort of, at the time it just made sense. I was like, well, you know, hey, it's my daughter's mother.
It never made sense. At the time it made sense to you.
Right. I mean, yeah, that's what I was trying to say. It made sense to me. It made sense to my daughter. You know, it made sense that, hey, I was like, well, if I could stick my neck out there for you and help you get back on your feet, I don't necessarily want to marry you, but I will at least help you out until you can, you know, you can get out of that environment and you can, you know, move.
Did you ever get a DNA test?
I did, actually, because, you know, I was skeptical myself, and she's mine. She's mine. So, you know, it's, yeah.
Why do you want to get involved in the life of a woman who was a one-night stand?
I don't anymore. I really don't. And your show has helped me so much. I mean, because when, I mean, she showed her true colors. It was amazing. It was, she put on this charade, just like you talk about. She put on this charade when she got out of rehab. Oh my God, I'm so much better. And it was like, as soon as I got her out here to my, well, my old place in Colorado, it was night and day. She completely flipped the switch. And that's how, like I said, that's really how I got drawn into your show in the first place. I was like, man, there's got to be a show out there that teaches guys this shit. And, I mean, I don't know. You've been like a Bible for me for the last month.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah.
So now, the mother of your child lives in another state. I believe it's Kentucky, right?
Correct.
Okay. You live in Colorado.
Yes.
And you have a daughter, and do you have a nanny or a housekeeper or somebody who helps you?
I don't. I've always worked really hard. When I got back from my deployment, I had some deployment money, and I invested in the stocks. I had people who were smarter than me and richer than me, you know, give me some advice. And I know that's something you've talked about on your shows a lot too. That why would you take advice from somebody who, you know, doesn't have more money than you? So I in that regard, I mean, there's so many things about you that I love, Tom, and that was one of them. I mean, that I completely related to. It was like, wow, yeah, no shit, that's exactly what I did. And so I invested almost all that money in the stock market. I've done very well through that. I've continued to work hard, general contracting work, but I mean, with the recent move and being up in the mountains, I mean, work is, it's not quite as lucrative. I mean, you can do resort type jobs and stuff like that, but it's just, you're not going to find necessarily like a career type job like you would say down in Denver or LA.
Right. Right. So tell me about your living situation. Do you live in an apartment? Do you live in a private home?
No, I actually I have a home. Yeah, I got very fortunate with a home and got in a really good deal. And I kind of wish I'd listened to you. I mean, and there's a part where I kind of relate to you as well. I mean, I'm 29 years old. I've actually I've never owned a home until this point. And I know you've talked about only owning a home until you're ready for your last home. And I started listening to you about a month ago or so and closed on the home a few months before that. So I still feel like I got in at a good enough price and my payments are manageable to where I'm really not extremely stressed financially.
Understood. But you're not helping your ex out at all, are you? You're not getting involved in her recovery or
chemical
abuse issues?
No. So she's in drug court now, which very few people are able to complete successfully. And, she's texted me maybe twice in the last, since Christmas. So, and frankly, I didn't even respond. Especially after listening to your shows, I feel like there's no, she really doesn't deserve anything from me at this point. And it's pretty sad. I mean, my daughter, you know, she needs that little feminine energy in her life. She talks about missing my mom. She doesn't really ever talk about missing her mom. Cause my mom, you know, Mama has been there in her life. so much more than her own mother has. So,
right. I understand. And you did. Were you ever married, or how did things work out? You just knocked this woman up, and what happened exactly? Was there ever a relationship?
Yeah. Well, so I was never married with this woman, and you know I'm gonna go ahead and you know, I know I'm gonna take shit from anybody listening right now, but again, everybody's gotta remember I had never even heard of you at this point in my life, and she had three kids before me. And I...
That's a red flag, by the way, in case you didn't know.
Yes, sir, I know. And I had told her explicitly, I never want to make anything long-term with you. This is fun for me, and that's it. And she seemingly agreed. She acted like she knew the stakes, and I was along for the ride, sort of say.
I want
the
listeners to know, this is why I tell you guys not to get involved with single mothers, because single mothers don't mind getting knocked up. They've already proven that.
Yeah, the doctor, right after my child was born, the doctor was asking her if she needs, you know, she wants to get her tubes tied, and she's kind of like, I don't know. And I'm like, yes, 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 it needs to happen, yes. So I you would have saved me so much in my life if I had heard of you 6 years ago. And that's why I listen to you almost religiously now. And I turned my brother on to you, I've got a couple buddies that I've told you know, about, you know, you about them, I really think you absolutely tell it how it is. I mean, I've had plenty of relationships with women. I'm not some beta male. I mean, this was a woman who, again, I was pretty upfront with. I said, hey, look, this is sexual. That's it. And, again, she seemed to kind of be okay with that at the time.
Because they don't care if there are any, you understand, they seem okay with it because they're not worried about any consequences.
it's ridiculous. It really is.
Anyone who already has three kids, let me tell you, she sees having a kid as a consequence and doesn't care.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's unfortunate for all the kids. I mean, it really is.
The thing is, it's something you could have prevented.
It is. It is. I intend to never make that mistake again. I mean, I'll be completely honest. I mean, up here in living in the mountains, it's tough to have sort of say a bullpen. I mean, the male to female ratio is not nearly as good as L.A.
Well, then you need. Then, by the way, then you need to at least get a vasectomy.
Well, and you know what? I had never even considered that before your show, and I'm actually very, very on par with doing that. I really want to do that.
Well, then why don't you do it?
Well, I mean, I just started thinking about it, so, it's something I would like
to
do.
How many more kids do you want?
I really don't want any, but I would like to maybe freeze some sperm just in case I want a male, but I really don't see that happening either. I mean, there's a small part of me that would maybe, I come from a very traditional part of Kentucky. I mean, I relate to you in so many ways, Tom. My parents stayed together. My grandparents stayed together on my dad's side, and my grandparents stayed together on my mom's side. They both came from huge families, seven kids apiece.
Yep.
And, I mean, I just come from that traditional, you know, area of life where it's like, I mean, everybody. My younger sister's getting married. Like, everybody my age is married, and they're all looking at me like, well, what are you, gay? Or what are you just, what's wrong with you? And I've heard your response to that plenty of times, which makes all the sense in the world too. Just, hey, I ain't got to explain nothing to you, you know? Like, I don't care what you say. So, and that's really where I stand. I'm pretty comfortable in my own shoes now. I'd say it's, you've helped me get there. I mean, I've been pretty comfortable in my shoes most of my life, but just hearing that little bit that I needed, you kind of pushed me over the edge of just knowing that these girls are so scandalous, and I don't know. I just, I don't need that. I mean, as much as I would, you know, it's hardwired into my brain to maybe want it, I don't necessarily need it.
Hang on a second, John. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, I want to bring in our friend, a family law attorney, Adam Sachs, who's got some thoughts on your situation. All right? Hang on there, John. We'll come back with Adam and John. And your calls here, it's Reports from the Front at 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM, that's our number. It's 901-3000-866.
Tom Likas, the Internet's most listened to call-in show. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. At 901-3000, Tom, that's our number, 901-3000-TOM. And we've been talking here with John at Silverthorne, Colorado. Single dad raising his 6-year-old daughter by himself. The mother of this kid is a drug addict, and he has nothing to do with the upraising of his kids. And let us bring in here now our good friend, family law attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, you've heard what John's going through here. What did you want to say to John?
Oh, God, John, it's pretty heartbreaking, all in all. I don't know what to tell you, man. Holy cow. You sold your guys. You come from a completely different cloth, you know? You have a sense of duty and honor and country, and women don't know anything about that at all. And you're talking about... this thing where you married her right before you got deployed.
I didn't marry her. No.
I mean, you got with her is what I mean.
Yeah.
That is so classic. A lot of guys do get married or they hook up with a girlfriend because it's like they want to have someone back home to write to or something, you know, someone to return to, you know, something
right.
Back in the real world. I understand that's like a scary prospect going to war. And so you want to have the woman keeping, you know, taking care of the hearth. But it's not exactly like my grandmother, you know, waiting in chastity for grandpa to return, you know? Women today are not going to think that way. And
right.
The fact that she already had a couple of kids, I mean, that's like, that's nightmare red flag. But, you know, in terms of drug addicts, you have to know, and I'm really sorry to say this, but, I mean, very few people ever really change. And so we have a lot of people, you've seen this among, like, famous people where they go to rehab and they go to another rehab and another rehab. And, you know, the fundamentals of a person and the personality are pretty difficult to modify. So the idea that someone goes to 12 steps or to a rehab and they come out and they're not a drug addict anymore is nonsense. It's a lifelong problem. They know that. And so this is something that is always going to be the way she is. And so, you know, sooner or later, she's going to reemerge. And I was just wondering, you were saying this thing about making deals for child support. Did you ever get a real custody order for your daughter? Like, do you have sole custody of her legally?
Not legally. Like I told Tom, she's really not in a position to be able to go to the courts and say, well, I want my daughter with me full time.
I'm not talking about her. You talk too much about her. I don't give a shit about her. I'm talking about you and your daughter. Okay. You know, you're very concerned about her rights and if she's in a position, I don't care if she comes to court. It's better if she doesn't, I guess. Okay. You need to go to court and you need to get sole custody of your daughter. Okay. Legal and physical, period. Okay. And I'm not talking about some handshake where she said to you a year ago, here's our daughter, you raise her. Okay. That is not going to work. What's going to happen is that she is going to have a moment of lucidity or she's going to get involved with a guy and she's going to get an apartment and she's going to start organizing her life a little before the next crash. And then she's going to call you and say, I want my daughter right now, okay? And she's going to file against you for child support. You know, women are the greediest creatures in the world. When she's thinking about her prospect of how to get money, she's looking at you. She's looking at your military benefits, your military pension, whatever, you know, health care, whatever you have, she's going to want to take from you. And I presume she's gone after the fathers of her other kids, right? I mean, when you knew her, you said she had three kids already?
Right.
Didn't she go after those schmucks?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I'm really not.
Well, I have a feeling that she did, okay? Don't kid yourself. All right? So the reality is, if you're talking about this, the thing that you have to think about is that your child is not an adult. She's only, what, six, you said?
Six, yeah.
Yeah, well, your problems with her mother are just beginning, okay? And so you've got to make sure that you protect your daughter. Now, you were also talking about the different states or something, and you're from Kentucky, and she's in Colorado, you're in Colorado. You know, none of that matters. If she gets court orders in any state, every other state, and even other countries will recognize them, okay? So I don't know what she had in the past, and you gave her a van or whatever, but if she has this open case of child support, she can reopen it, or it's been accumulating all this time. And you also made another really concerning comment to me. You said, I don't want anything from her. I'm amazed by that. I'm amazed at women, because women go after every single last dime they can squeeze. And then guys are always like, oh, I don't want support from her. I don't need any money from her. Okay, that's nonsense.
Well, I just had a $360 grocery bill that I thought about picture messaging her and saying,
no,
you know, hey.
You don't have to beg her. No, but that's
I'm not
going to
do
you
it.
Begging
but
her.
It's just, I get what you're saying. I mean, yeah, there maybe should be support.
You,
in the back of my
you
mind,
need to,
there should be maybe, but.
It's not. You're like soft on this woman, okay? You need to go after her for child support. You need to get as much as you can. And even if she's not making payments, it's going to accumulate plus interest, okay? And someday
she has anything. I mean, it literally
doesn't matter.
Just might put her in
you're
jail.
Gonna, you know what?
And
you're going to take a share of her welfare, and you're going to take a share of her pension, and you're going to take a share of her disability insurance. And if she ever like gets her act together and she starts working in a supermarket, you're going to take a share of her cashier's salary, okay? And you don't have to be concerned about whether she goes to jail, okay? She's a piece of trash, and she has deliberately screwed your life up. And she has been a shitty mother to your child. You have got to make sure that you protect your rights and your child's rights. You've got some kind of thing that no matter what this woman does to you, you're not quite that angry, you know? And that's crazy. When I talk to women and the guys screw them over, they are vicious. They will stop at nothing. And here you're talking about, yeah, you know, I feel bad for her. You know, I want to help her. You know, she was okay when she came out of rehab. She's okay for a couple of weeks, you know. It's like, dude, why are you sticking up for her? Look what she's done to you. Look how she's disrupted your life. And she'll do it to you again if you're not careful.
Originally, it was mainly just because it made sense for our daughter. It didn't really – I knew I was maybe throwing my existence in the bucket for a few years. I didn't plan on marrying her during that time. I was just really trying to – literally just trying to give her a hand up in life. You know, hey – here's,
why is that?
You know,
why is that? Why are you?
For
why
you
are you
not
Captain Save-A-Ho? No. Why are you Captain Save-A-Ho? That you've got to give her a hand up in life. What the hell does that mean?
Tom, I literally had zero Tom guidance in my life. Tom Likas guidance that I needed, and this is why I've been hooked on Tom. This is part of the reason I just can't get enough. I listen every day now. And it's not. You know, it's not just the Tom Likas 101. It's everything. I mean, this is why I've just been so involved in this show ever since I literally got kind of a.
I know. I'm glad you love the show, but listen to what I'm saying. It goes beyond
I'm just saying.
You have to live this.
This is pre-Tom Likas 101. You know, this is pre-Tom Likas. You got to understand, like, I literally came from such a traditionalist point of view. My mother was shoving it in my face, like, oh, it's okay. I just, again, you got to realize, like, I'm having a huge paradigm shift in my life right now, listening to this show and listening to you guys, and it's, you know, I don't want to be that save a hoe. Not even for somebody who, you know, who's the daughter of my mother anymore. I mean, not at all.
That doesn't matter now, okay? You actually are in the position that you have to protect your daughter from her. You understand?
Yes, sir.
The way it works with child abuse investigations, if this ever went to Child Protective Services, God forbid, okay, the bottom line would be that they would charge you with neglect because they'll turn around and say, she's crazy, she's a drug addict, but you didn't do enough to protect your child from her, okay? It's not just a question of, like, you've got some kind of thing maybe because of the armed forces. You've got some kind of, like, loyalty to her or some shit like that, okay? You got to forget about that. Those days are over, okay? Right now, you got to be thinking about yourself. And I'm telling you, you go after her for child support, you get yourself a lawyer, and you make sure you get proper custody orders. And if she's all jacked up and then she's in rehab or whatever, terrific. She won't show up to court. Okay, and you'll end up winning by default, which is a lot easier. Okay, and
that's what I foresee happening. It really is.
What's that?
That's what I foresee happening.
Well, I think you should start it immediately. Okay, because this woman is not going to be your friend, and I'm telling you, one of these days she's going to snap out of it. She's going to hook up with some other loser who's going to be Captain Save-A-Ho number three, and she's going to say, I miss my girl. I want my daughter back. You know, John took my daughter away for no reason. Okay? And then she's going to call you, and all of a sudden she's going to get really nasty, and she's going to think, and this is the disgusting part, she's going to look at your daughter as a revenue stream. Okay? And she's thinking, she needs money, she needs money. Believe me, drug addicts need money, and they don't want to have to work.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And
right.
So she's going to be like, I got to get some cash in my life. How do I do it? Okay? And the way she's going to do it is from you, period. Okay? It's not even a 50-50 thing, all right? So she's going to call you. She's going to want your daughter. She's going to say, you know, I heard you sending her to school late, and you're not a good father. You think she's going to really appreciate that you've been taking care of your daughter all this time? She's going to thank
you
for
it? She hasn't appreciated
anything
I've done. I mean, she hasn't appreciated a fucking thing.
So why are you sticking up for her? Why are you telling
me,
it's not like you think. It's like this. It's like that.
I'm really not. I'm really at a point where I'm ready to, like, file the legal documents. I mean, I don't know what it is in California. It's not expensive in Colorado. It's roughly $300, but I still got to – I mean, I printed off a freaking Bible version of all this paperwork that I'm filling
whatever.
Out. I don't even know if it's right.
Okay. If you don't have court orders, okay, hypothetically speaking, she could show up at your daughter's school one day after class and pick her up, right?
Yeah, that's a nightmare situation, yeah.
Really? And then she gets in the car and she drives someplace. She goes to Florida. You can't find her. You call the police and you say, my daughter's been kidnapped by her mother. The police are going to say, let's see your custody orders. Okay.
And you're
going to be standing there with your dick in your hand talking about, I don't have any. Okay. Forget it. All right.
Yeah.
For your daughter's sake, you have to make sure that you're taking care of all this. All right. And there's a certain point where it's irresponsible that you haven't. Okay. And I understand that this has all been confusing for you and you didn't know Lycus rules and all this other good stuff, but that's all water under the bridge now. Okay.
Right.
You're going to have to step up and take care of this child and do the best you can. And literally you're going to have to get this crazy bitch out of your mind because she's got some kind of power over you and you can't allow that anymore. Okay. She's always going to be a drug addict. Always. This is the nonsense that's always going to go on with her one way or another. She's always going to be on and off the drugs and you're going to see her and she's going to seem better. And then she's going to relapse again. They say relapse is part of recovery. Okay.
Well, what you're saying is clockwork. I mean, she sees me with another girl, and then she loses her mind for a little while and tries to be the princess, and then next thing you know, she's falling apart again.
Okay.
Within usually a couple of weeks. I mean, what you're saying is absolutely true.
I don't understand this. And we had one of these on the show yesterday with this guy who was just addicted to the drama. And I really hope that that's not you, okay?
I mean, for me, it's literally just been, I don't know. I mean, it's just been the holidays. I'm not trying to drag my feet on this anymore. I really am trying to make a move on this at this point. There's no part of me anymore that's willing to try it. For the longest time, I blame myself because she somehow brainwashed me into thinking, well, you fucked around on me all the time. You had all these other bitches while we were kind of together, but then I told her from the get-go, this was sexual, this was nothing long-term, and she somehow was able to flip it on me and make me believe that it was my fault. And so this last time
it's classic user borderline personality bullshit, okay? And you're dealing with it. You're talking to crazy, and you're expecting things not to be crazy, okay? Crazy is just crazy. All right?
Yeah.
So you got to back the hell away from this broad. I don't know what hold she's got over you. You're still quoting me. Well, she said this, and then she did this, and I said that. It's like, who cares? Who cares what she said? She doesn't exist, okay? You've got to go after her for money in terms of maybe your daughter getting some someday. And other than that, you got to start being an adult, okay? You can find yourself a normal woman who you can have a normal relationship with. You don't have to put up with all this bullshit, okay? Please.
Yeah, Mr. Sachs, I appreciate it.
As far as custody orders and child support orders, get yourself a lawyer and take care of it. I'm telling you, she's going to pick your kid up from school someday. You're going to go get your daughter. She's not there. No one knows where she is. And the cops are not going to help you because you don't have a court order. And when that happens, that is not the time to start getting a court order at that point. Okay? That's when it's too late.
Right.
Okay?
I'm going to take your advice. I promise you. I'm going to do something about it within the next week. I promise. Within the next couple of days.
I'm really pleased to hear it.
Excellent. All right, Adam. Thank you so much. Right when we needed
you. Thanks, buddy.
All right. There goes Adam Sachs. You'll hear Adam again on Tuesday, 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time. And John, please check back with us and give us an update from time to time.
I will, Tom. Can you blow me up, please?
You bet I can. Here you go. Tom, that is our telephone number. And by the way, we got lots coming up, including Be Funny, our most popular feature, coming up in about 45 minutes from right now. Don't go anywhere.
The entire Tom Likas experience in your pants. Get the app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's News for Guys. I'm Gary's Dino.
Yes.
A woman claims she got thrown off a flight for showing too much titty. This is on Spirit Airlines. She claims that a flight attendant told her she might want to cover up, and then she got booted off the flight. The airline says that's not the case.
No, they said nobody was taken off this plane because of cleavage. People are taken off planes because of their behavior, and the spokesperson said that this woman happened to be intoxicated, and a flight attendant spoke to her about it. The flight attendant made that decision as she was leaving. By the way, you might want to cover it up.
Yeah.
That's what the part was, but she was getting trod off.
Where are the big-tittied women showing cleavage and walking around drunk when I fly?
Yeah, that's never... Right.
Is there some kind of code you have to request when you're flying?
Apparently, you got to get the Spirit.
God damn it. I mean, how much titty do you have to show to have a flight attendant want to tell you, hey, maybe you want to cover that shit up?
You got to get the Spirit.
God damn it. Your boy Stevie J, I guess this is actually a blessing. He has to pay $1.3 million in back child support. And I say this is good because apparently he really should have gone to prison for it.
Right. He's going to get probation in addition to this. I guess federal prosecutors wanted our friend to do some hard time after grossly falling behind on paying his baby mamas.
Oh, boy. Huh? Do we know how many there are?
I don't know, but he could have gotten 6 months behind bars. So, you know.
Jesus Christ. Well, I guess he's got 1.3 to pay. I mean, it's pretty impressive.
If he doesn't, we're going to be in trouble.
All right. What happens then? So if you end up having to go to the can for 6 months, when you get out, you still owe the $1.3 million.
Oh yeah, otherwise if you have a choice,
or you just got to stay
6 months. I'll stay in jail.
Right.
I don't want to give her anything.
Well, that's the way I was thinking of it. I could just sit there and dream about big-breasted women in airplane.
All right, and have your 1.3 when you get out.
Right,
I have to give it away.
Yeah. It's happened again. This time, a married anatomy teacher, 24 years old. She is jailed for having sex with a 16-year-old student during their beautiful summer break at the state park, apparently.
Yeah, this is bad. I guess we're going to find out that our girl Brandy is formerly known as Brandy with a different last name in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
She's been accused of rape, sexual abuse, and sodomy. This came after she met this 16-year-old in the state park. And also, it took her to her home, according to police, for some sex.
Right. How about this for a count? Using an electronic device to induce a minor to engage in sexual activities.
How about a phone?
Right.
Yeah, but they make it sound so serious.
That's what it is. DED, dead in the news, Frank Pellegrino, you know him as the FBI chief in The Sopranos. He also is a part owner of Rayo's in East Harlem, a very, very famous Italian restaurant.
Yeah.
Where bigwigs hang, like Scorsese and Woody Allen, Jay-Z, and more.
By the way, I enjoy his water, and he also, this guy, was in Goodfellas, so
yes,
that's key.
Goodfellas and Law and Order.
Yeah. But Goodfellas being
yes,
the most,
I
mean, that's, by the way, far and away most important part.
Finally, a pick alert for you. I have a thing for Elizabeth Hurley. She's 51 years old, 51, and she still rocks a bathing suit like it's going out of style. She looks fucking ridiculous. Plus, she's got an English accent.
Yeah, she is smoking. So,
right.
She is something else.
I just want to hang and have a spot of tea. Maybe smoke a fag. We don't know.
Delicious.
There's plenty more newsforguys.com, and, of course, you can find our podcast at GaryandDino.com. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, we're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.